The Black Shore Arts Hour.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Black Shore Arts Hour. Coming up, we have got a review of Lady Bird from Matt, as well as a very exciting instalment of Stratton Alex Do Art, because spring's nearly here, folks, so we've run with the theme. So, settle in, grab yourself a beverage, and enjoy.
The Matt Boothman film review. So good, I put my trousers back on.
Hi everyone, it's Matt, and this time I'm recording my segment from the Phantom Zone. I don't know what Ellie has told you about why we're not both in the studio this episode, but basically, there are cosmic forces trying to tear the Black Shore Arts Hour apart. It's always like this around when Oscar release season ends and big crossover blockbuster release season starts. We ought to be back to normal again in a few weeks. Anyway, last episode I said I was going to talk about Lady Bird, and to make up for not being in the studio, I'm actually going to make good on my commitment for once. So, written and directed by Greta Gerwig, starring Saoirse Ronan as Christine, aka Lady Bird, a high school senior in Sacramento, California, starring Laurie Metcalf and Tracy Letts as her mum and dad, and Beanie Feldstein as her best friend. The movie kicks off with Lady Bird rolling her eyes and diving out of a moving car just to get out of an argument with her mum about where she's going to go to college. And that sort of sets up in a nutshell what the whole movie's about. It's all about a young person who wants more than what she's got, more culture, more fulfillment than she thinks she can get from staying in her hometown and like going to community college there and living at home and stuff, and how that wanting more puts strain on that mother-daughter relationship. There's this rule of thumb that they teach beginning writers, especially in drama or in screenwriting, which goes, you have to arrive late and leave early. Meaning that you should start each scene as far through the action as you can get away with, and cut away as soon as the scene has done what it needs to do. And it really feels like Greta Gerwig's been particularly careful or maybe strict with herself about applying that rule all the way through Lady Bird, to the point that actually at times it almost feels more like a montage in certain sections, more like a montage than a sequence of scenes. At the same time, though, it doesn't feel like it's rushing anything, or like it's leaving anything out or glossing over anything that could do with more kind of inspection or more time on screen. So there's this other rule that they teach writers, which is to cut absolutely anything, any scenes, any lines that don't either move the story forward somehow or reveal or develop something new about one of the characters. And it feels like that one, again, it might have been pinned up in the editing room or something. I'm realizing that it might sound like I'm saying this movie feels kind of made by numbers or sort of tab A into slot B, but That's not what I'm trying to get at. So the reason I bring up these rules of thumb is because even though they're things that supposedly every writer knows, that like, you know, they tell the whoever your tutor is or mentor or people you learn from, they tell every writer these rules, it's actually rare to see them applied with this much care all the way through a movie. And we get so used to seeing movies where basic common sense storytelling stuff like this gets ignored, either so the writer can show off some good turns of phrase, or so the actors can have some fun improvising, and you know, like nobody wants to get rid of that footage, or movies where these basics end up getting steamrolled over by rewrites and kind of interference from executives and studios. We get so used to all that that it's easy to forget why people think in the first place that it's a good idea to stick to these basic things. It's easy to forget what a movie that does stick to those things actually looks like. So this is a reminder for everyone. So Lady Bird starts scenes late and leaves early and leaves out anything that doesn't push things forward. And what you get as a result is a movie that's really pacey, that's never boring, that can be quiet and slow when it needs to be, when it needs to sort of bring the pace down or the tension down, but it never lets your attention drift, because there's always something important happening on the screen, and if you blink, you might miss it. It's also a movie that never feels like it's repeating itself, or never feels like it's hammering a message at you, the audience, even though it does keep coming back around to those themes, the mother-daughter relationship, the need to break out of that mould that you're born into and sort of find new pastures and be more than other people think you can be. So it's a bit of a cliche, but what all that would seem to add up to is that Lady Bird is basically a masterclass in film storytelling. And Greta Gerwig got very deserved nominations at the Oscars for the script and for the directing, which actually made her the first woman ever to get a Best Director nomination for her first feature film, as well as being the fifth woman ever to be nominated for Best Director. Come on, Hollywood. Anyway, that's it from me this episode. I'll talk to you and hopefully Ellie next time about Annihilation, which is coming straight to Netflix for some reason on the 12th of March. Bye till then.
Go on, treat yourself to something.
Subscribe to the Blackshaw Arts Hour on your generic podcast resource.
You deserve it.
Well, thank you very much for that review, Matt Boothman. Excellent as always. I went to see Lady Bird and I agree, it is a really good watch. I especially enjoyed the soundtrack, which if you are in your kind of late 20s, early 30s, will just be such a retrospective of your kind of late teens. It was, a lot of nostalgia going on. So go and see it. Good things. Thumbs up. Coming up now, we are, thank goodness, finally, almost just about hitting springtime. The clocks will soon be changing. So in celebration of that fact, we got Stratton Alex to wax lyrical. Here we go.
Stratton Alex do art.
Yes, art.
Oh, I mean, it looks lovely, mate.
Right, we are back with Strat and Alex. Have you got your heads in the art game?
So in there.
Always and forever.
Okay, cool.
Can intense. Barely get it out again.
of the art.
Of the art.
I have to call the art fire brigade to release you from your art prison.
Yep.
Sure.
His art clamp.
Yep. Like those kids that get their head stuck in railings.
Yep.
Yep.
Good. Well, today's task is going to be spoken word.
Ooh.
Now, I should say, we started off referring to this as rap. And felt like not only were there potentially cultural appropriation issues, but also in terms of you two doing rap.
No, I think that's
that
fair.
That might be putting actually the bar a little too high for the two of you in terms of the specificity
and just
of the
for,
genre.
Just for clarification for our listeners, I know it can be hard to tell in an audio medium, but we are all white.
Yeah, so white.
You might not have been able to tell over previous episodes.
But yeah, no, we do, yeah.
Blackshaw Arts House, so white.
Yeah, pretty much, unfortunately.
Yeah. Mm. So, we are going with the term spoken word.
Right.
Which means that you have a little bit more leeway, I guess. I'm going to see what Wikipedia has to say about it. But first, Matt Beethoven, what do you have to say about it?
So, it's going to be an interesting one to draw parameters for, because I get, like, spoken word could mean reading a story.
Yes.
Whereas I think we're talking a bit more about like spoken word poetry, right? Something with a bit of a rhythm to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something with potentially some rhymes, but that doesn't have to fit like an established solid style rhyme scheme or meter.
We're kind of looking like free form poetry, kind of.
Free form, in that area.
Yeah.
So Wikipedia says, spoken word is a performance art that is word-based.
It's spot on there, Wikipedia.
It's an oral art that's focusing on the aesthetics of wordplay, intonation, and voice inflection. Mm. It is a catch-all, which is why I've gone for that, which includes any kind of poetry recited aloud, including hip-hop, jazz poetry, poetry slams, traditional poetry readings, and can include comedy routines and prose monologues.
Okay.
So I think really kind of the main thing we're aiming for is that kind of, like you say, like incorporation of rhythm.
Yeah.
The different types of inflection, intonation, wordplay. Yeah,
something that is pleasant to listen to.
Yeah, exactly.
That is kind of written to be listened to, I think, is the main thing to get at.
Okay.
So we'll be very interested to see what you come back with. We have only given you two parameters, one of which is theme and the second of which is time.
Okay.
So the theme is spring.
Right.
Uh-huh. Seeing as we are in and around that season.
Right.
And the second parameter of time, you have an hour.
It's a long time.
So you don't have to use the whole hour.
Mm.
It's just that we wanted to give you the leeway to get in-depth content and length if you want to. Mm. But
and also, I guess, the natural parameter of it being performed on this show, which is that it's got to...
Like, you might want to rehearse it a few times.
Rehearse it, and also like maybe don't give us like a 20-minute piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that would take up nearly the whole Lecture Arts Hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So
what are you looking like? A minute?
Well, I mean like a maximum of 5 minutes.
Yeah, absolute tops.
Okay.
But it can be as long as or as short as you like. But obviously, if it's super short, feels a little bit like cheating. And you probably won't win.
Duly noted.
Yeah, fair enough.
Do you have any questions?
No.
Don't think so, no.
No.
No? I mean, I can report there is mild panic behind both of your eyes.
Yeah, you know, that's fair. That's fair.
It's quite an expansive theme.
Yeah.
That's the...
Do you want us to be more specific?
No, I don't think that's the issue.
There's a lot you could... There's a lot that you could write about it, and then how, and then...
Okay. Yeah. Well... Use your time wisely. You have an hour, and your time starts now.
Ooh. The Blackshaw Arts Hour.
Ooh, that's a tasty treat.
So, you have returned from your journey into the world. Damn it.
There are a lot of words in it.
Yeah. Into the word of spoken word.
That's exactly what I was going to say. How did you fare?
It's tricky. I mean, it was a long time, and we obviously had to do... A decent whack at it. I had a few false starts. I think it's also like it needs to be remembering it has to be performative. Like the other things that we've done, obviously we have performed because it's a radio show, yes. So we've got to speed them out. But they would have been it would have had the same effect if somebody had just like found it on Twitter or and read it.
Yeah.
So this one was having to keep in mind that it needs to be a performative piece was something I kind of. I had a few false starts, and I felt I just wrote a poem rather than writing a spoken word piece. And I think, it was the one I settled on. Yeah.
I'm now worried that I've just written a poem. Sure. I mean, we'll see how this all pans out.
Okay. Okay. Right. Who would like to perform first?
Do you want
to
go first?
No, I do not.
So Alex performed first on our last poetry-related challenge.
That's true.
Okay. Go on,
so it's me. Go on. Alright. Alright. Right, here we go. It doesn't have a title.
That's fine.
So it goes something like this. Winter thinks he's the big I am, with his snow and ice, freezing lanes, cancelling trains, biting winds and chilling rains. Death and disruption is what he brings. Well, watch out, Winter, because here comes spring. I'm coming at you, you can't compete. My April showers beat your hail and sleet. My gambling lambs, your shambling commuters, cursing while they try and use those strange little handheld computers, which they can't because you've made them wear gloves. Well, the gloves are off now, Winter. I'm not holding back because I hold all the cards. I've got daffodils. Forget Christmas thrills. I've got cheaper gas bills. That's right, the heating has been turned off. Or at least down now I'm in town. And in the country, life is thriving. Get in the back, Winter. I'm driving. I'm bringing back what you drove underground. Here come the flowers. There's some hares. You think you're scary, Winter? Well, I just woke up all the fucking bears. I'll beat you back like the humans beat the mixture for their pancakes. I'll make you wish you never tried. Thaw your freeze with ease. Get the leaves back on the trees and watch you wheeze as I replace your chill winds with chilling outside. Yeah, that's right. People like to see everything I create, not like you. You think you can make up for the rest of what you do with what? A snowman? No way, man. You're cold and ice. I'm the beginning of ice cream weather. You're a white Christmas. I bring all the colour. And if you think I'm starting to wear you down, well, just wait till I introduce you to summer. She'll mess you up even more. So get up back in your box, Winter. I'm done with you. The world is ready for a new, flu-free and friendlier hue. That's right. You better run. Because this spring just sprung.
If that wasn't a mic drop, I don't know what.
That was so good.
I found it easier once I decided it needed to have a character I could be.
Yeah, and that you were just throwing down with Winter.
Yeah,
trash talking Winter.
So thoroughly enjoyable.
Yeah.
How are you feeling, Alex, about doing yours now?
The phrase "give up and go home" has sprung into my head, but I'm gonna persist with what I've done.
Go on, Alex.
Shite the bed. Right. It's hard to write. It's hard to describe without cliche, with nuance. It's possible though, so try. So I walk, and I walk through to the new, out of the old. Strident and free, verdant and bold. Skeletal branches beginning to fill, budding to brilliance, delicate pink snow. Fortunes and growing. Fortunes are growing. Perhaps, I don't know, but I walk. And I walk. I pray I don't slow to the future. To the future with hope and choices and more. To rising above a bitter old floor. To bask in a baby-warm glow. So I walk, and I walk onto summer.
That was really pretty.
Yes, pretty. Well, I was trying to find a word, and pretty is correct.
I will take that compliment. But yeah, no, it's... it's going to be difficult to beat that, isn't it?
What, that?
No, Strat.
Yeah, I don't think I would want to go up against that.
Nope.
Having had those false starts where you just felt like you were writing like a poem to sit on the page.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you've got a better understanding now of what makes something performed or spoken rather than written?
Yes. Yeah. I think so. Because like what I was starting with was it was very poetic. Language is what I was going for. I was trying to personify like something growing and using that as kind of the focus thing, and it all became kind of like I was just right, and it became also more rhyming. I felt like I had to rhyme more, but once I sort of like gave it a character and felt like this thing was actually talking rather than trying to describe a thing, it allowed it to be more kind of free, and so I found the rhythm better then and was able to like break out of it to kind of underline certain bits kind of vocally, as it were. It was kind of a sort of like aha moment for me, at least.
The things that I thought, like Alex, you said you were worried that it was just a poem, that what you'd written.
Mm.
I think actually with some tweaking, it could feel more like spoken word. But the big difference I noticed between yours and Strat's was that Strat's is much more colloquial.
Yes.
So there were lots of like little language tips that...
The Blackshaw Arts Hour's first use of the F word.
I debated so much on whether I was going to drop the F bomb. It's in the book. It's sort of like a little sort of like above the line thing. Sort of like I can throw it in there or I can't. I'll see how it feels.
Reading the audience.
Yeah, I felt like it reached a point of like fury from the character because I didn't know how angry it was going to be until I properly read it. So I waited to see how angry I got and decide whether I should do it. And I know we're off the watershed now, so I could.
No, it was excellent. And I think that the little things like, yeah, man, like slipping in those very kind of relaxed terms makes it feel more like spoken word, partly because it lends a different rhythm to the way you speak than you would if you were reading out a poem, but also because it gives it a different, completely different tone, which I think fits in more with the spoken word vibe. Of being sort of relaxed and more like normal talking than poetry.
I think that's what it's interesting. You said you started with sort of language that you deemed too poetic. I think I started with that and clearly persisted with that a lot more than you did, and that's why they've come out sounding so completely different. So it was interesting when you said that. I was like, that's clearly what I've done.
The only turn of phrase in yours, Alex, which made me laugh a little bit to myself, which probably wasn't supposed to make me laugh, was baby warm glow.
Yeah.
Because I thought that sounded really creepy.
How so? I'm interested. Where did your mind go with that?
I'm just like, what, warm like a baby? Like, you've got a stack of babies to keep you warm at night. That's weird.
Doesn't everyone? Little stack of babies.
No.
little baby blanket. A blanket of
That's
babies.
Not what a baby blanket is.
Oh.
You get that wrong.
Oh dear. I mean, I think Alex, you did much better than I'd have been able to do. But I feel like Strap has outdone himself and
hands down is
the winner here.
Hands down.
Matt, are you?
I'm going with Strap. I hadn't been able to quite articulate it, but that your point about it being more colloquial and therefore easier to speak is right, I think. And also I think it had more rhythmic variation, whereas I think that's one of the things that kind of makes it spoken word poetry for me is it a bit less rigid in terms of being in couplets or in lines of a certain length.
I kind of, when I was writing, I felt, and I've always felt with spoken word, is it should almost feel like it rhymes just but by accident.
Like it's rhymes not chucked in where they help emphasize.
Yeah, exactly. Like, or even just mid-sentence, it even needs, and kind of a lot more
without the kind of formal sort of end of line rhyme that you get.
Yeah, you can't put like an A-A-B-C-A-C or whatever rhythm to it. There are no letters.
There are no letters, only words.
What came first, the letter or the word?
Words, presumably, and then we created letters so we could put them down on paper or rocks. Not rocks.
Okay.
That's just what I thought.
Where did the scissors come into it?
Good. Right, well, now we've both driven you suitably mad. We'll stop there.
Thank you.
Congratulations to you both.
Thank you. See you next time.
See you next time.
Where can you find Blackshaw? Is it on Twitter?
Yay!
That's right! It's at Blackshaw Update. Is it on Instagram?
Yay!
That's right! It's at Blackshaw Theatre. Is it on Facebook?
Yay!
That's right, it's at Blackshaw Online. And don't forget, you can also find Blackshaw at
BlackshawOnline.com. Yay!
Well, that brings the scores for Strat and Alex Do Art to 6-6. I mean, I don't know if I'm more in shock about the fact that they're drawing when they, from the outside, don't seem particularly well matched in terms of competition, but also the fact that we've now done 12 different challenges for them. So to take you through them, a little trip down memory lane, they did portraiture in pencil, they both drew Matt Boothman. They did a sculpture in clay, they wrote a Christmas-themed sonnet, a drabble, which is a 100-word story, découpé, which is cut-up technique with, I believe it was an edition of the Evening Standard, photography, which we gave them strict guidelines to do iPhone photography, so they were evenly matched on the equipment side of things. Story, which they co-wrote, actually, so no scores came out of that. Then designing a cover for that story, a comic strip, finger painting, spoken word, which of course we've heard today, potato printing, and then there's a team stop motion, limericks. I mean, it's been quite the back catalogue of arts. If there's any kind of art that you think they should be undertaking, then please do get in touch. We're always keen to get suggestions. And if you yourself are some kind of artist, I mean, it could be, you don't need to be a super expert, but if you have some experience of some kind of art and you would be up for coming in and teaching those men a good lesson, then we would be really up for that, because actually, I don't know if it shows, but we're really just making it up as we go along. So, yeah, I mean, all those Wikipedia references may have given the game away there. So, yeah, feel free to get in touch. All the social media stuff has just been said to you, and we'll also be reminding you of that at the end of the show. So, what I want to have a little chat to you about now is our upcoming show, The Final Adventure of Frankie Fightwell by Chris Buxey, which, as we talked about last time, is going to be staged at the Putney Arts Theatre on the 11th and 12th of May as part of the Wandsworth Arts Fringe. We're very excited and really thrilled to be supported by the Wandsworth Arts Grant. So we are fully backed. Like, we've got money in the coffers and everything. If you want to come along and see that, the tickets have just gone on sale. Super exciting. And even more exciting is that we're running an early bird offer. So if you want to save some money on your ticket, all tickets are at the concessionary rate of £7.50 until the 1st of April. So book your ticket before then and you will be saving dollar bills, y'all. You can book your tickets by going to our website, blackshawonline.com, and we'll be rolling out lots of fantastic behind-the-scenes action on all our social medias in the run-up to the show, so do keep your eyes peeled there. There's also still time to apply to be involved in the show as an intern. If you're interested in the scheme, go to our blog, which is blackshawonline.com/blog. And under the jobs section, you can see a full description of what is on offer. It's for Wandsworth residents aged 16 to 25. All sorts of fantastic opportunities to get involved in that show and see what it's like working on radio plays and big theatre productions in lovely theatres. The deadline for those applications is the 23rd of March, so you've got a couple of weeks yet, but do take a look if that piques your interest. That's pretty much it for the show today. Matt and I have been divided by space and time, but we'll be reunited, I'm confident, next time. The stars will align and we will be back in one another's radio arms. We hope to cuddle you then through your ear holes, and in the meantime, enjoy everything that the audio world has to offer, not only in the form of us, the Blackshaw Arts Hour, but also our sister podcast, Merely Role Players, who have just launched Series 3, which is in the Wild Wild West and comes with an explicit rating. So do with that what you will. Here's a little taster of what the series is like. But of course, this series is set in the Wild West and they're doing a lot of swears, so it's a bit different. Good. Nice to hear you, to listen to you. Be listening to me. Signing off now. Bye.
I believe that role-playing games are art. Specifically, role-playing games are theatre. Which means theatre artists are natural role-players.
What sort of hat am I wearing?
It's the important details.
Is it like a tricorn hat?
Yeah, he has got into full theatre mode now. Right, this is amazing.
So, they want to be entertained. I'm going to give them a shot with my iron and my tricorn hat.
Life's a game. The world's our stage. And we're Merely Role Players. Merely Role Players, a podcast where dramatic people play role-playing games. Hosted by me, MJ Starling, in association with Blackshaw Theatre Company. Find us at merelyroleplayers.podbean.com or search your usual podcast app for Merely Role Players.
You've been listening to the Blackshaw Arts Hour.
Follow us on Twitter at Blackshaw Update.
Watch us on the Instagrams at Blackshaw Theatre.
Like us on the Facebook at Blackshaw Online.
And find all the things at blackshawonline.com.